Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
The Astros are in the World Series. The Lakers are fighting with each other at halftime. Oh, do we have lots of stuff going on in the sports world? And also right now, the Arizona Wildcats are ruining their chance at the number one pick in the college football draft next year. The 0-6 Wildcats are beating Washington right now, 13-0 right before halftime. You know, you're going to just throw away your chance at Trevor Lawrence if you keep winning these games. Unbelievable.
Amazing stuff, man.
Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, no one better, ahead of another big-time college football Saturday, than the editor-in-chief, originator, Grand Poobah of collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football. Pete Futak is with us right now. He's on Twitter, at Pete Futak. Pete, what's happening, man?
Is it really a big weekend in college football? And I do this, so every weekend's a big one, but like, can you name the big giant game that you guys are really, I mean, Michigan Northwestern, is that really going to do it? I know it does it for you guys, but is that really going to do it for you?
Does it for me, pal. That's all. Yeah. I celebrate all of them. As bad as it could get.
You love all your children equally, yes.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is that you say this now, right? And then tomorrow, after like three ups, you're like, boy, this is a big weekend in college football.
It always happens. Strength in numbers. You know, if you have a sport where you play 55 games on a weekend, you're going to have one or two quirky things happen. And you do have, I think there's some weird stat that you have three option teams playing undefeated top 25 ranked teams. So if Army, Navy, if those guys come up with something weird, all of a sudden something crazy could happen. I don't think it will. But this is the weekend where we don't think anything crazy is going to happen, and then of course something does.
I really thought you were going to go through that whole commercial. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, we don't ask for experience. We give it.
Space Force.
There's that,
you
too.
You don't read this
I don't
the
think
book.
They have a
You'll
football team yet, though.
Oh, they don't? Oh. Well, if they did, they'd probably run the triple option. But yeah, there's no real monster, you know, SEC game Alabama, Tennessee, and you know, it is one of those weekends that's kind of setting things up for everything else. And in a normal world, USC and Notre Dame, for people of a certain age, that would get everyone all, you know, crazy and stuff. But it kind of does, because look, you know, Notre Dame's still kind of in this. Notre Dame's still in the college football playoff hunt. It's one of those weeks, too, where, all right, you know, Cincinnati hit the curveball. You know, Navy's not a great option team. And if Cincinnati's on its game, it should roll with the ease in this and cover the spread easily. There's a couple quirky games out there. And then the real intrigue, if you want the real fun of this weekend, is we're about to potentially see something historic, where Kansas is 0-6 against the spread this year, and it's on a run of, I think it's 1-15-1 in its last 16 games against the spread. If it can't cover against Oklahoma, there, as long as these sports books have been charting these things, this might be an all-time record, I think, is what this is going to be if Kansas can't cover this week.
That's like what I feel that real gamblers do. Like, listen, I just lay this one bet that I know I'm going to win over the long period of time, and I'm going to win. Like betting against the Jets. I'm just going to bet against the Jets every week, and some weeks I'll lose, but most weeks I'll win, and that's how I'm going to be a millionaire.
It's funny you say that, because my 10 best picks of the week column, after I had a little bit of a cold snap with going 500, I do that exact same thing. I go back to, what do I believe in? I believe in, you always go under on a point total of 75 or older, over. You don't give away, you know, over 40 points to anybody, and you pick against Kansas. And so far, that makes the world, you know, kind of make sense at this point. It's one of those pecking order weeks for college football where we're going to see how all these conference races are going to start to shape up a little bit. The Purdue versus Wisconsin types of things, and see if Iowa can bounce back. And because very, very soon, it's going to be mass chaos because we're going to get all these Big Ten East teams playing each other. All the, you know, SEC West things are going to shake out, and we're going to have Florida, Georgia next week. So it's a little bit of a deep breath week before it really kicks in.
You want to, you know, throw some dirt in honoring the career, the run of Ed Orgeron as a head coach, as opposed to the substitute of the week?
Let me tell you something, guys. I do think that they had a good run there. We won national championship there. Go Tigers. Yeah. He's a made man. Look, you know, it's this simple. Everyone, there's 100 things about the Ed Orgeron era that could be a problem. That could be problematic. The fact is they lost to Kentucky. And that was basically it. If, you know, LSU is one of those places where you can't lose ever, or else you're on an instant hot seat. And look, you know, he had arguably the greatest season in college football history in 2019. And, you know, last year he should have been given a little more of a break because he lost everybody to the NFL draft with the all-time fun stat that, including long snapper, they had a player at every position drafted last year. And then this year, they've just been okay, not great, but they're still rebuilding. And that's just not good enough on top of all the other aspects of the Ed Orgeron era. But now this gets interesting because where do you go? Because every single fan base thinks that their team can get anybody. And it just doesn't work like that. Like, you know, whether it was Texas with its job opening or USC right now or LSU, it's like, yeah, well, we can just go, let's go get Nick Saban or let's go get a Harbaugh. Or let's just, you know, we can do that. Who wouldn't want to coach here? And now they've put it out there that they've set the bar at Dabo Sweeney and Jimbo Fisher. So, you know, where do you go from there if you're LSU when you don't get those two guys?
You know, it's funny you say that because I got two things. One is of all, you know, I talked about this last week. I said, you know, I tell Mike, I said, you know, hey, you know, Futak and I've been talking to Pete Futak for almost 20 years with college football, all these things, almost 20, going back to ESPN and after and everything. And I still take one of your lines when I'm with friends as credit for my own. Whenever we talk about Ed Orgeron, I go, he was America's interim coach. And now look at the success he has. I remember when you called him that on the show. He's America's interim head coach.
He was, and he does talk like I just did, whether you're with him one-on-one or any time. That is his real voice, and he is not changing. But, look, you know, it's hard, and that's the argument I keep, you know, getting people saying, well, LSU is the better job. They've won 3 national titles there under 3 head coaches. I keep saying USC is the better head coaching gig because while the fan base is nuts, you don't have to win national championships there right away, and you can actually win Pac-12 titles very fast there. Alabama is not going to quit playing football once LSU gets a new head coach. You know, so it's that you're going to beat your head against that wall and the SEC wall every year, and the outsized expectations, you know, they've seen the top of the mountain there, that fan base, and if you're not winning a national championship, it's not good enough, and 10-2 is not going to get it done at LSU.
Now, here's the second part of what I would say. You talk about craziness that could go on. We're talking about the games happening and craziness. We right now have job openings at USC and LSU definitively. Miami likely is going to follow, as we've seen reports today. So now you're talking about 3 big-time schools that are going to have openings. Are we going to get a crazy story? Are we going to get somebody leaving, a big name leaving somewhere in the middle towards the end of the season to take one of these jobs before it gets to the offseason? Could we see that kind of craziness?
I don't think before the end of the season, because to get that big name, it'd have to be a guy whose team kind of stinks. And it's not going to happen with a Jimbo, and Penn State's going to be hanging around. So I don't think you're going to see James Franklin. I think the bigger thing might happen, by the way, throw Nebraska on that pile because they're not going bowling this year of potential openings. And look, James Franklin is, it's the funny part about this is, and you know, I was finally asked this question today by one show friend, which was, you know, why is Penn State just seemingly just going to let James Franklin walk? It's Penn State. And it just kind of seems like it is, because USC would be a bigger gig. LSU would be a bigger gig. And he is the guy who seems like he'd be perfect for either one of those jobs. And he's not going to leave anytime soon. The bigger questions are going to be, watch what happens with the Arizona Cardinals. Because if this really under Cliff Kingsbury, and at the time was like, really, the guy couldn't win at Texas Tech? what's he going to do in the NFL? If he really is that good as from the college to the pro ranks, Lincoln Riley's overdue. I mean, he is going to, you know, go to the pros very, very soon. And you're going to get the college football landscape and make even more big head coaching gigs.
Yeah, Pete, he didn't say it, but he was really kind of asking about Pete Carroll and Urban Meyer there. More Urban Meyer than Pete Carroll, but wondering if Urban gets out of Jacksonville there.
You know what? First of all, I'm old enough to have forgotten that Orgeron line. I used to be funny, and now I remember it again as you brought it up. And I'm old enough to remember when Jimmy Johnson came in from college, and was like, oh, here's the college guy. He's not going to do anything with Dallas. And they were awful. Look, Jacksonville, the number one pick for a reason. That's a bad football franchise, and it's going to take a while to build it back up. So it's not like Urban Meyer was going to come in, they're going to go 6-0 right out of the gate. I think he's sticking around here. I think he seems like, you know, all, you know, goofy controversies aside, as opposed to the real controversies that are happening in the NFL, he kind of likes it. I think he doesn't – he likes not having to recruit 16-year-old kids every day. I mean, there's something to be said for just doing football. And once the guys get a taste of the NFL, they tend to like it because you just do football all the time.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Pete Futek, our guest here. All right, Pete, hit us with this right here. If you could tell me the big upset that could happen tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised about. And I don't mean like, you know, Kansas and the covering of the spread. No, the upset
on
awesome.
The
field.
That would be awesome. That's the one I really want, yes.
That would be, I mean, that really would stop the world if Kansas won that game. What's the upset? You would not be surprised to see a big upset tomorrow.
Is there a big enough game that would necessitate the idea of an upset out there? I guess it would have to kind of be Navy over Cincinnati, which I don't think is going to happen only because of the option offense against that. How about the quirkiest of the quirky? How about Illinois over Penn State, which I don't think is necessarily going to happen? So basically, if you didn't pay attention to Brett Bielema and Illinois football this week, and why would you? He came out and essentially said, my team sucks.
Yeah.
And they handed me a team that sucks, and I can't do anything about it. And then he walked and said, I didn't really mean to say it sucked. It just sucks. But I don't. And so it might light a little fire under this team. And Penn State's hurting. You saw what it couldn't do against Iowa with Sean Clifford hurt. And that's still a question mark. So I think that might be the one curveball that could happen if Penn State is not getting good quarterback play.
He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek. Pete, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Your one-stop shopping for college football news is, of course, collegefootballnews.com. Pete, enjoy the games. When the big upsets happen, I'll call you.
Absolutely. You guys have a good night.
All right, Pete.
How about it? Pete's walking away going, I did say Ed Orgeron was America's interim head coach.
I just like the way he said that. You know what? Yeah. I used to be funny.
Now Pete's hanging up the phone going, boy, if I hit a point in my life where I got to take stock of what I'm doing and see what I want to do with the rest of it, and I'm looking back at what was past and what's ahead of me, and I'm wondering, I think maybe we just send Pete down a whole new rabbit hole right there.
Yeah, walking the streets of Chicago going, what other great one-liners did I have that I can resurrect?
Then he starts throwing them out at people. Hey, Ed Orgeron's America's interim head coach. Hey, you crazy guy, stay away from me while you're talking about that stuff. All right?
You know what's funny is, I mean, we follow each other on Twitter at Pete Futek. See if he throws that up at some point as Ed Orgeron's next job comes up. He's the best.
Pete is 100% the best. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Right now, things are really bad for the Lakers. Things could actually be worse for the Dodgers. The two biggest breaking sports stories of the night coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hi. I can tell you a few things about it.
There are two, not too old now, in the last hour and a half.
And Cleveland!
They both involve the same city, and unfortunately, they're both not good.
Yay.
But right now, Major League Baseball, well, I mean, no one's happy the Astros are in the World Series. I mean, they are in Houston, but that's it. But it's, hey, everybody hates us. Right. Everybody hates you because you cheated and never really got any sort of comeuppance at all for it.
Hey, $5 million fine.
Yeah. Oh,
they sold like
$100
million of suites and tickets and merchandise right after. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a deterrent. Yeah. And two guys lose their jobs and they lost two draft picks. Wow. That's really going to stop you from cheating in the future.
Oh, can
not
you
just
imagine?
The Astros. I'm just talking Major League Baseball. It's like, that's the cost? That's it? Mm. Really? It's like, why would you not be trying to figure out a system after that?
If the Astros win, just watch. When Rob Manfred has to hand the trophy to the Astros, they're going to have some kind of really involved handshake where he's going to be laughing and high-fiving as he gives him the trophy, and he's going to just be giving the finger to people. Hey, baseball fans! Oh, I wanted to give this to a deserving owner. Yay! Congratulations!
And he spray paints NWO on the field where he stands. I mean...
That's what he's going to do. So the Astros are in the World Series. We'll get back to them a little bit. Trust me, you want them in the World Series because you want them to lose. But as we get set for Game 6, I told you all night last night and all day today, I was on AM 570, flagship station here at Fox Sports Radio in L.A. with Rob Parker, and we argued for 3 hours, and I told him how much I love the Dodgers' chances this weekend, coming off the fact the Braves should have closed the series out last night because everything was in their favor and they couldn't do it. And what I liked the most was next day's starting pitcher, I'll take Max Scherzer over an Ian Anderson 6 days of the week and twice on Sunday. Except now it's not going to be Max Scherzer starting Game 6 for the Dodgers. They don't have a starting pitcher. If you remember, Max Scherzer said his arm kind of felt dead during his last starts, why he only went 4 1/3 inning, had to come out for 79 pitches. But okay, now it's 5 days rest. Max is going to be great? No. Arm still most likely not feeling it, so the Dodgers will have to go to some other combination of players, and maybe Albert Pujols will pitch. But this is where the Dodgers are at tomorrow. It's going to be another type of bullpen game, and honestly, they just put David Price on the roster to replace Joe Kelly. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a bunch of innings tomorrow. Even though he hasn't pitched in a while, he's a guy that's pitched in big situations. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a guy suddenly, he's in his third inning of relief, David Price for the Dodgers. How did this happen? Because the Dodgers are absolutely desperate. And all those good feelings I had about the Dodgers, yeah, I don't have them anymore. I had good feelings because I believe the next day's starting pitcher. That's why I believe in that. Now all those good feelings are gone because who knows who's going to wind up pitching for the Dodgers now.
Maybe it's all a work and David Price comes in and he's the opener and then the Dodgers commandeer the stadium and music starts to play and then there's Max Scherzer. It was all a work. To get them
no,
out
I'm
of
fine,
their,
actually,
their,
guys. I'm fine. Everything is good.
Or maybe Game 7, or maybe it's just wishing, wanting, hoping for an alternate universe. Because it was setting up to be delicious theater, and now it's one of those more nervous, like, wait, can you describe this play to me? Because we've all had friends that have been, especially live in Los Angeles, friends that are part of different community theater organizations or whatever. It's like, just come to the play. Think, what's it about? Nah, just come. You're going to like it. Wait, no, because that's kind of what we have tomorrow now. It's the, I don't know what I'm going to get when we walk through that door and what kind of effort you're going to get. Obviously, Herculean task in Game 5, and they were more than ready for the challenge and picked up after Kelly had to leave with the injury, and you got the big innings out of Gratterall and through all of those relievers to the final 10 pitches that Kenley Jansen threw. No sweating Jansen yesterday. The question is, can you get it right? Can you get that formula of pitchers right once again? Because, you know, over time, like, you can do this, right? You can use this type of setup. You just don't want to have to go to the well too many times because eventually you're coming up empty, or one of those players is coming up empty, as we've talked about. But it'll make for great theater, and obviously you know what's waiting on the other end, so the planet Houston. So all of a sudden, this just got that much more amped up, if it needed that at all. And, you know, they're having the big viewing party at Dodger Stadium if you want to go watch there, too. I think that would be a curious crowd to hang out with.
I hate bullpen games.
Who doesn't?
You know I hate them. I hate them to watch them, and I hate them as a strategy. And I fail to understand how bullpen games work. I really don't. You're telling me that you don't have a guy on your roster somewhere that you can say, you know what, this guy can maybe give us four innings. Not seven innings, not, well, we don't have a guy, but someone that can give you four bleeping innings that can go through the lineup twice before you have to go to the bullpen to find somebody else. Because the more times you go to the bullpen, the better chance you have to find a guy who stinks that night, right? That's just how it goes. You got to go six out of seven if you're going to win a game with a bullpen game. I don't see how this has become something that is in vogue, because as much fun as it was to see the Rays do it, oh, it was something new, let's see how bullpen games do. No, bullpen games are now only ways for teams by game that they're giving up. We're giving this game away. Why? Because we don't have anybody else. Or we have a bullpen game because we have no other choice. And the Dodgers do it way too many times. And look, this is why the Kershaw injury has killed them, because they didn't have Kershaw to be able to go in another game. And so they had to bring Urias in relief. And you have to go to these many bullpen games. So I get it. But I don't know how this has become a thing that more teams say, yeah, we're going to do this when we have to. No, you have a guy. You can find a guy to give you four innings. You can find someone to say, hey, four innings, twice through the lineup, or whatever comes first is what you're going to give us. And then we're going to go on. This doesn't work. You know, bullpen games are just games of necessity. And look, first of all, they're not fun to watch, because I don't want to see a pitching change every 8 minutes, which is exactly what it is. And secondly, you know, it's not like you go through the long haul and say this is a great strategy, because most teams don't have the bullpen guys that are going to come in and throw zeros. Now, I get it if you're a team that has a great bullpen, and when you say, hey, if we get five innings out of our starter, we feel great because we got four guys that can come in and go bang, bang, bang and throw zeros. That's different than saying, hey, we're going to throw this open and hope a guy that's got an ERA over five can get through an inning in the third before we got to replace him. I mean, I don't see how this is a strategy that teams have embraced, saying, yes, this is our way to go win. I don't get it. I mean, the Dodgers have a necessity to do it tomorrow, but they've done it many times in the past. Other teams have, and I just don't get it.
Go back to the analytics, right? Why are teams trying on fourth down more? Because the math says it can work. But everything has to go right, right? All the algorithms that you draw, you've got to, and now you've got the extra bonus of everybody's got to go three batters. Unless you fake injury. Then you can start doing that. But then it's Ole Miss stuff and people start getting mad and throwing mustard at you. So we see, there you go. Throwback to last week's college football slate, as it were. But yeah, the three batter rule kind of changes it up a little, right? We can't just switch folks around and force the issue and, you know, all those great managerial things that people love to wax poetic about. Yeah, you used to have the long reliever, right? A guy who wasn't in your rotation that, in theory, could give you the four or five innings because of an injury, because of, you know, getting shelled early, those things. I don't know that we have many of those anymore. And the Dodgers, for all of their attempts to add arms throughout the year, let's face it, there's a laundry list of guys, and you can do this with most teams. I'm not leaving it to the Dodgers alone that you've had the attrition, right? You lose Dustin May, you lose Clayton Kershaw, you lose Trevor Bauer to whatever this becomes, right? It's still sitting out there in no man's land right now. But what did that do? You went and got Max Scherzer, and you brought in the NL batting champion. So you were able to go out and get reserves. So in theory, you were still able to make the moves that should have given you the roster to get through any of these ills. And you know what? They all piled up. Unfortunately, you had the convergence of a really bad series of events. I could go the unfortunate series of events and start quoting Count Olaf while I'm at it, but I won't. Celebrating Neil Patrick Harris's finest role. But it's just the idea tomorrow, we have no idea. Get your popcorn, right? To quote Terrell Owens, because we have no idea what to expect. Can David Price give you three innings if he is, in fact, the guy that starts the game? Because that's what you're going to need. Remember when, you know, Julio Urias got the call and he's going to start? It's like, all right, can you get six? You get greedy and you're asking for seven. And then he gave you five, right? And got that pitch count up and immediately you started doing your hand wringing once again. And tomorrow is going to be that riding the lightning for 27 outs, man. Mm. I tell you, it is definitely a different thing. No easy walk to go have the rematch with the Astros. Still got to figure this out twice. And, you know, from what I get from that Max Scherzer announcement is he's not available. Like, it's not just he's not starting
tomorrow.
Yeah, like,
I don't expect to see him at all tomorrow. Yeah.
Or even Sunday at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I maintain this. Of all the things happening, and especially with the AD and Dwight Howard back and forth, the Lakers aren't going to be good until they decide to say, all right, Russell Westbrook, the offense is going to run through you. You can't do what they're doing right now. Russell Westbrook is not going to suddenly fit in where he's only bringing the ball up sometimes. You're going to need him to be the ball. That's why he's one of the top 75 players all time in the NBA, because of his style of play. He's not going to give you what you need from him over the course of a game if he plays off the ball as much as he is. Now, he had a better night tonight for the Lakers stat-wise. He scored 15, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists, but still, it wasn't nearly enough for him. This is why you got him, because he's a great point guard, he's a volume shooter, and he's on the best team he's been on in quite a while. So make it work that way. This is why you got Russell Westbrook. Run the offense through him, because he's just a guy when you go up the court and you don't have Russell Westbrook bringing the ball up. Right? He's standing in the corner. Good, stand in the corner. Take a three. You're going to miss, because you shoot about 8% from the floor, but you take 95 shots a game. It's how you score 24 points. I mean, that's what he is, and the Lakers aren't going to win until that happens. When it does happen, things will be great, but they're going to struggle until that happens.
6 for 15 from the field, 11 boards, 9 assists, plus 4 for the night, 4 turnovers. LeBron with 5 turnovers. He did have 25, 2, and 5. And talk about the skirmishes. Look, that happens all the time. It just so happens that everybody's waiting for this to be combustible. And obviously all the jokes after the all 75 team that you referenced with Russell Westbrook, the fact that Anthony Davis was on it and Dwight Howard with all his accolades, because, you know, he's been a punchline oftentimes. And certainly, you know, the signs on the side of Staples Center saying, please stay Dwight, back in the day during his first run with the team, are part of folklore. The guy's had one hell of a career. Go look up the stats. So a lot of people standing for both he and Alex English today. Alex English also standing for himself on Twitter. So that was a good job by him. So a lot of memes and jokes and all of that. Marcus Johnson even got in on the act too, saying, well, when I found out I wasn't getting, you know, onto the All 75, he posted the clip from White Men Can't Jump. I'm going to go get my other gun.
Tracy McGrady, right, was at the Knicks game tonight against Orlando and, you know, there to watch the game. He's the ambassador. And they said, what'd you feel about not making the top 75? And you know what he said? That's the question the whole world wants to know.
I love that. And Klay Thompson's still pissed day two. I mean, it's great. Everybody wants in. But, you know, for the Lakers, the little skirmish there is going to be a lot of viral sensation, a lot of one-liners, a lot of memes. But in the end, does it really mean a whole lot? No. They're frustrated because they were terrible. And Anthony Davis went 6 of 18 from the field, hit his free throws, great, 22 and 14, fine. But they got worked. And so there's a lot to do, a lot to work about. Can't wait to hear Frank Vogel, part two, try to talk about how Russell needs to integrate himself into the offense or something to that effect. But really, you're burying the lead. Carmelo Anthony had 16 and 5 off the bench in 25 minutes. And many
they were
people
inspired, man.
His,
I'm telling you,
his effort down the stretch.
They were inspired. I like how well they decided, screw it, we're going to go out. We're not just going to go sit. We're going to try to figure this thing out. And look, they have a great fourth quarter and they make plays. But still, the bottom line is Russell Westbrook is only going to be half a guy. he's in the ball up and you're running the offense through him. I mean, I get that it's going to be a little bit of painstaking. It's going to take a little bit. It's going to be LeBron to force to play off the ball a bit, which is fine because he's done that. This will work. This will work. But the fact that they're trying to shoehorn and square peg round hole Russell Westbrook in, how does that help? I mean, how does that help? I mean, what do I know? I don't know about basketball, but I know what the guy's done over the course of his career, and you got Russell Westbrook to be that guy. Did you really get Russell Westbrook to change who he was and say, okay, now you're a guy that's used to having the ball for the majority of the time is not going to be better when you take the ball away from him? The Lakers are, as long as they're going with this strategy of, hey, he's got to fit into our system, yeah, good luck. Good luck, because that's not going to work.
Ready to go. Coach him up.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. Hey, finding it harder to perform at your best as you age? Fight back with M-Drive, the daily supplement for driven men who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts energy to help you regain your edge. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off your first order with promo code Smith. That's 20% off using the promo code Smith, my last name, S-M-I-T-H. There's free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. Your first order, 20% off, promo code Smith, and free shipping with a 60-day guarantee. Well, coming up next, speaking of the big night that we've had in the NBA, a couple of stories that make you sit back and go, whoa, we got them next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Today's Friday.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Who wants a mustache ride?
And I'll tell you, man, the Lakers have all kinds of problems right now. They fall to the Suns 115-105. And Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis get into an altercation during a timeout. Rajon Rondo screaming at a fan. We will have more on this story coming up in about 10 minutes, as the first week of the season could not have gone worse for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm trying to think if there's any way it could have gone worse. No, it could not have gone worse. Two blowout losses at home, and now they're fighting with each other and fighting with the fans. That kind of covers all of it.
Well, and your biggest fan is taken to Twitter to call you out.
Oh, Stan is on there? Stan, I do want you as a fan. Yeah, Magic Johnson.
No, the Lakers' biggest Stan.
Magic Johnson not happy. Again, we'll get into that coming up in about 10 minutes. But this story that's been building over the course of the past few hours in regards to the NBA, look, the Suns win tonight, but they will be facing a lot of controversy as an ESPN story is set to come out that does not paint the Phoenix Suns franchise and team owner Robert Sarver in a positive light at all. In fact, some of the advanced copies of the story, again, we haven't seen the details yet, that there are allegations that will, quote, blow the NBA world up. There's allegations in this report of racism and sexism in an upcoming story by ESPN. The Suns have responded by saying a lot of this is baseless and faceless, and these aren't claims of merit. So we're still waiting for the story to come out. It hasn't come out yet. And the Suns have already put out a statement denying everything. Here's the thing about this, is that we have two sides, and one side is saying none of this ever happened, and one side says we have a story that says all of these things have happened. Now, without knowing details yet, right, we're just kind of playing the game of where things sit right now, right? We're still waiting to see, and who knows. But ESPN, the last thing they have, or the thing they always fall back on, number one is live sporting events, because, you know, look, they have the most of them out of all the sports networks. And they have the journalistic integrity because they're one of the few sports networks that still does in-depth stories, that still breaks news on a platform that way. Here's a long-form investigation that we had that has resulted in this, right? Sometimes we get it from HBO Sports, but ESPN's really the last bastion of here's an investigative report on this, and boy, this is going to blow the doors off you. Sometimes it's just normal stuff that goes on in the locker room. Sometimes it's the Brady and how he gets along with Belichick and Kraft. and sometimes it's this. And potentially, this could be a report that, depending on how it goes off, the league could forcibly remove Robert Sarver as owner. I have a hard time believing that ESPN is going to come out with a report that is completely baseless in facts, incidents, and reporting. They're not going to risk their journalistic reputation unless they have their T's crossed and their I's dotted. I mean, certain places you go, ooh, all right, but this is ESPN, and they double, triple, quadruple check everything before they come out with a story, especially something like this. So right away, I'm saying, boy, you're going to discredit as everything is none of this happened. This is all completely... that I don't know that I can buy already by the Suns. Again, I'm just playing, Mike, you know, what we know so far without knowing anything, knowing the reputation of ESPN from being there and working behind the scenes there and in front of the camera, in front of the microphone there, knowing what they do in going forward with their journalistic reputation integrity.
Just found it kind of interesting, this report of an alleged article alleging all of these misdeeds, racism, sexism, sexual harassment, all these other things, was broken by a guy who doesn't work for ESPN. So I hear they're working on this. So that's kind of a curious, piece to the public that it gets leaked by Jordan Schultz earlier today. And I tweeted it and texted it back to you and production and everything to say, okay, this is out there. I don't know what it means at this point, because until we actually see what's in the ESPN report, I don't know how inflammatory, but, you know, everybody's saying, hey, get ready. This is Brad Pitt in you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, with a flamethrower. Okay, maybe that's the case. And Sarver, you know, could potentially lose his role. And it's just like the NFL. Everybody's waiting for those other emails to drop. Same thing here. So it's a lot right now, a lot of hand-wringing and waiting, but no details.
More big stuff out of the NBA and the NFL next. This is Fox.